Gentlemen, it's April 6, 2022, and this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted, X Nerdiest Part of the Ring?
They don't say X, it's cross.
Oh, I thought it was an X.
Yeah.
My bad.
Filthy. Well, it is, that, but the X means cross.
Oh, okay. All right. Right here on the, tonight's episode, part one of a two-night event spanning my show, our show, with Ace's show, which is their show. Look, it's a whole thing. It'll make more sense as we go along. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight for the show. With me tonight is my co-host for Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Double H.
Still remember when it was the pound sign. Now it's a hashtag. It'll happen to you. It'll
in Japan,
happen to you.
In Japan, they call the X button the cross button.
They do. PlayStation taught me that. That voice you hear, ladies and gentlemen, no, it's not a ghost. It is the one and only, the five-star man, the host of the Nerdiest Part of the Ring, former co-host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, former host of Pro Wrestling Unscripted, former co-host of Mr. 100 and the five-star man, and all-around good old gentleman, Asa Gray.
Hello.
All that, and that's all I got. And, of course, the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo, there it is. I was about to say, it's like, mine's going to be super short.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, now that you did all that.
I had an idea that we could do a two-night, you know, WrestleMania was two nights, so let's do a two-night review. Tonight, we're going to be reviewing WrestleMania Night 1. Tomorrow, over on Nerdiest Part of the Ring, they're going to be talking about WrestleMania Night 2, plus Ring of Honor, plus NXT, and we'll be over there. So it's a two-part thing. I want to thank Asa and Dalton for being on. Legitimately, it's just nice to have us all together again. It's been a long, long time. So Dalton just gave me a face, though. Is it not nice to be on here? Is it because you said you called me a manager in that thing you wrote? And I was going to reply back, Dalton, the only thing I managed to do lately was win Match of the Year.
You should have.
Oh, I might
still. I need you to know that I dunked on somebody really hard in the comments, so I'm already on one. I got him real good.
Oh.
It was solid.
We'll have to say. Yeah. We'll have to talk about that after the show. Let's talk about WrestleMania.
What was
though.
That thing we used to talk about with local references?
WrestleMania Night 1 was on April 2nd from Dallas. Or I'm sorry, Arlington, Texas. Was it Arlington, Texas? Is that Dallas?
What's a Dallas?
Am I
going? No, AT&T.
That's a TV
Dallas.
Show.
I don't know where that is.
So I'm looking at results.
I mean, it's Arliss. You're thinking of Arliss.
I think Arlington is like one of the suburbs of Dallas. Like it's okay. Kind of like how they have
Arlington
like
is where Hank Hill is from.
No, that's Arlen.
That's propane.
That's Arlen. Yeah.
That's propane town. Propane,
right.
That's
yeah,
propane that's town, propane. Texas.
Yeah.
It was a big night. It was
the stadium. The stadium itself might be in Arlington, but it's Dallas. It's like the same way like the Bulls play in Chicago. But it's the Rosemont Horizon, which is in Rosemont, Illinois.
Or when you go to St. Louis and they're like, "Oh, well, are you in St. Charles? I'm in St. Louis. Are you in Wildwood? I'm in St. Louis. It's just St. Louis. Yeah,
it's just St. Louis.
It's just St. Louis.
Or if you're TNA in the early 2000s or early mid to late 2000s, if you're live from St. Louis, you're live from the Show Me Center in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
or if you're Supernatural,
it was all the Impact Zone.
If you're Supernatural and you're from Cape Girardeau, you're actually from some port town with a huge fishing and racist demographic.
And everything seemed to be very wet and
very
piney.
Wet.
A lot of pine trees there. In
quick question
Cape
for
Girardeau.
Shannon.
Yes, sir.
Ace of Gray, Nerdiest Part of the Ring.
Yes, Ace, go.
Press pool.
Yeah.
Which part of your description of Cape Girardeau was inaccurate?
I think the heavy fishing community was probably the only part that I have a real problem with. I was going to say Tanner's representing, but he actually went fishing during the show, but it was in Illinois near Cairo.
True.
So also,
yeah, you go fishing in the Mississippi, you wouldn't buy.
Yeah,
they'll find you somewhere in Arkansas later.
You sleep with the fishes. I don't get that. Anyway, night one I thought was really good. Just really quick before we get into match by match, overall for night one, what did you guys think? I don't like Ace's laughing right now. What did you guys think of night one of WrestleMania? Just overall, let's start with Asa.
better than expected. On paper, night two to me was way more interesting. And I wasn't really, other than Bianca and Becky, I really wasn't looking forward to, and the Seth Rollins challenge, like mystery, quote unquote, of who he's going to end up facing. Like, right. There was just enough, like, what if, like, that I was very interested in that. But outside of that, like, I wasn't super invested in a lot of the other stuff. But having watched it, and even though, like, we were at CCW that night, so, like, a lot of it was already kind of spoiled for me, going back and watching it on Sunday had one real big advantage, and that was getting to fast forward through all of the video packages and the recaps and all of that nonsense. But no, I really, really enjoyed night one. It made me very excited for night two.
I would concur with that. Dalton, what did you think?
I was very entertained by night one. I watched it the morning after as well. And I think I skipped a match because I was like, I don't care to see even this a little bit. Everything else was pretty fun. There really wasn't a down point in the first night for me of everything I watched. Like, I was very entertained. That being said, I also was very grateful that I was able to fast forward through all those video packages.
Double H.
I mean, I have nothing new to add to that. I think we're all on the same page, short of the fact that I was in dire need of a distraction, and it was exactly the one that I needed. Like, it worked. It worked to a T to that degree. And yeah, I was very sports entertained.
Sports entertained, indeed. I also really liked it. I watched most of it backstage with Ace and Dalton at the CCW show when we could. And then I also watched the replay the next day at work. I put it on the TV in the lobby, and there was some pushback to, like, you can't play wrestling on the TV. And I said, well, I am. And then everyone that came in was like, oh, sweet, WrestleMania. I was like, yeah, see? In fact, I know this is tomorrow, but we watched night two of WrestleMania live at the store. And everybody that was there was so invested in the Johnny Knoxville match, we stayed late. We clocked out, but we stayed late just to watch that full match. That's how invested everybody was in that one. But that'll be tomorrow. We'll get into that. Let's start off with the opening match on night one. It was the SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos defending against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. And
Boogs.
I've never got to talk about this in public, I don't think. I absolutely adore Rick Boogs. I think he is just so goddamn entertaining, and he's got a great look. He looks like Rick Rude and Freddie Mercury, like fused. What is it in Dragon Ball? Dalton,
fusion dance.
Yeah, fusion dance. Well, I went to Dalton
fusion anime dance nerd. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Go to the anime expert. What are you thinking?
He did Dalton. It was Dragon Ball Z.
No, that's I excuse you. former cast member very much clarified that I was the anime expert of the group.
That's true. She did.
I think I would know what I'm talking about.
He's got the plaque back there somewhere. He just doesn't put it in the background when he records.
Yeah, it's I keep where? It in the garage.
I hit a button. Okay, I fixed it. Anyway, so one thing that was really strange for me about this match was them coming out in what I thought was Gatorade attire. And I was later informed it was actually Mike's Hard Lemonade. And boy.
No, I'm sorry. Mike's Harder Lemonade.
Mike's Harder Lemonade.
TM Lemonade Mix. Because they can't call it the Arnold Palmer Harder. I don't know. I don't know how you mix those two. But that's what it was.
They went really hard on that Mike's Hard Lemonade. No pun intended. In fact, they went harder than normal. Because they both came out in the attire. And then
I'll be right back.
Thank you. I remember sitting there thinking to myself, who the hell is the guy they're partying with over there? Is that Dexter Lumis? And it turns out, no, it was the Harder Farmer. Anyway, with that said, the match itself was good. Unfortunately, Asa, there was some bad news coming out of that. Also, Asa, I don't know why.
Asa, you're
there. We go.
Okay. I thought I was crazy. No. All right. Okay.
I coughed and I wanted to be polite, so when I hit the button the second time, it didn't hit. One of the benefits of watching it the next day is, as soon as I saw the sponsorship logo, I was like, "Oh, this is all unnecessary." So I have no idea what the harder farmer is, and I'm better for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, yeah, this was apparently always scheduled to be like one of the shorter matches on the card, but apparently it ended even earlier than planned because, yeah, doing the Boogs having both Usos on his shoulder and then going for the squat, he legitimately tore his quad.
And I didn't see it originally when it happened, but on the replay, and then when I watched it the next day, yeah, I mean, it's pretty, I'm like, okay, at some point around here, he gets hurt, let's see if we can spot it. And then we all just went, yeah, there it is, yeah.
When he just crumbles under the weight and rolls out of the ring and is never seen again.
Yeah. Yep. Trying to pick up two guys there. Hunter, what'd you think?
It was a great match, again, up to that point, and even then, they did what they could to salvage it afterward and kind of get out of there without, you know, too much disruption of the original plan. You and I talked about this when we did the preview. I am reasonably sure this is the first time I've actually sat down and watched a WWE show since last year's WrestleMania. Like, I've seen clips and I've read, you know, recaps and all that kind of stuff. So this is the first time I've actually seen Boogs in action, which, by the way, looks like Boogs. I still can't get past it. It looks like it's like little kid talking about boogers. but yeah, so the moment he pops up, my wife goes, "Oh, that's Freddie Mercury. Why is Freddie Mercury there? Where'd he come from?" And we were very into just his whole thing and their whole deal. It was a real shame to see that. On social media afterward, I found out that Rick had made a post about just like confirming that, yeah, I'm injured and, you know, we're gonna get it worked out, whatever. But that, like, his wife was there. I think he has a kid. I think they have a kid. So, like, his kid was there. He was super excited to be at WrestleMania, was just all pumped for everything they were doing. And then this. And he's like, and it's the first match and the first time I've gotten to do any of this. And what a shame. Other than that, it was very much the tone-setting kind of match that we needed for Mania. I'm not sure that I put it first in the recap or in the preview when we did it, but I had a sneaking suspicion that those tag team matches were going to be the first matches of the night each time.
I should have known that. I mean, it's the Usos. Yeah. The Usos always open the pay-per-view. And actually, someone mentioned this. I think Dalton, it was Brian Zane, that mentioned that the Bloodline bookshelved the entire WrestleMania. Beginning of the first night, end of the second night. Dalton, what'd you think of this match?
I enjoyed it a whole lot up until the injury. That is a very unfortunate injury because I'm sure that is something that he could do 99 out of 100 times. It really sucks that the one time it went poorly was on it at WrestleMania. Like, you never want it to happen, but that is like anytime I've ever talked to any of my friends that get hurt, they're like, it was the worst time to get hurt. And I'm always like, there's never a good time. No, Rick Boogs literally had the worst time to get hurt.
Opening match of WrestleMania.
Yeah, like, that's such a bummer, but it was good. It's the whole thing of just, like, you mean the Usos had a really good opening tag match at a pay-per-view? I don't believe it.
Also, water wet sky is vast. Yeah.
I do want to point out that it is profoundly funny to probably only me, but the fact that in the opening match was main event Jey Uso. Like, that is his moniker, is main event Jey Uso, and kicking things off.
That's because no matter where he wrestles on the card, that's the main event.
That's the main.
Okay, Vince.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to him tomorrow.
Seth got his main event.
I haven't even called you Pally yet. Hang on. Let me get there.
let's move on to the next match. WrestleMania just became Happy Mania, according to WWE's Twitter. Happy Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss are here. So it was Baron Corbin versus Drew McIntyre. In what I think they could have cut this match entirely and gave the New Day their match and made it longer. There was absolutely no point to this match. Drew McIntyre just beat them last week, both of them, but now he's fighting one of them, which I guess increases the danger level somehow. This match was definitely a filler. It was a waste of time. I didn't hate it, but it just felt very unnecessary. I really like all three guys in here, but it did have one significant moment, which is actually very historically significant for these characters, characters as in their personalities. Yeah, you get it. Asa, what was that?
Oh, for the first time ever in WWE, someone kicked out of Happy Corbin's finisher, the End of Days.
Yeah, well, it's not called End of Days anymore, is it?
But it is. You know how disappointed I was to find out they're not calling it the Happy Days?
What?
Yeah. Aww. They kept calling it the End of Days, and I was like, how is this not the Happy Days? He's Happy Corbin.
He's happy now. That's so disappointing.
Well, not anymore. He's not happy now.
Nah, he'll be happy again. It takes a lot to knock that man down. He's smiling.
We did not get enough of beat down sad sack Corbin.
I agree.
Him trying to open the can on this just by bashing it on the sidewalk remains one of the funniest things WWE has ever produced.
That video package was really handy, the one before this, because if you didn't know the build up to Happy Corbin, you'd be like, who is this goon? Yeah. Why is this guy having such a good... No, you need the redemption arc. The down on his luck, beating a can of... What was it? Dog food or beans or something?
It's like beans or Chef Boyardee, something like that. Which, if you follow him on Instagram... Oh, God. he told a story... I don't remember which podcast it was, but he did an interview where he was talking about, like, he showed up looking so disheveled, and they're like, hey, we're actually going to run with this, so you need to keep this look. And he's just like... I got a PTA meeting next week. Like I got to go to my kid's school.
Live the gimmick.
Looking terrible. I actually really like this match. AEW has kind of spoiled the storytelling in a wrestling sense because they don't have monthly pay-per-views to fill. They do like four a year. And doing that, they also do a pretty solid job of keeping the people who are feuding with each other separated from a in-ring sense.
Right.
So like you mentioned, like, yeah, it does kind of take away from a singles match for him to be in a match with both people.
Right.
Like, granted, they did what they could. Like, first it was Madcap Moss was the fall guy, so he was mostly competing with him. And then Corbin trying to dodge him by not being in the ring at the same time, but taking the cheap shots he can. And it's like, that's fine, but... that kind of hurt it, but overall, like, I ended up really liking this match. I thought it was super cool that McIntyre is the first person to kick out at the end of the days, and the fact that they actually, like, mentioned that, because that could have easily been something that was just the internet remembered, but they never acknowledged on TV, because we get a lot of that in wrestling as a whole.
Right.
And I thought the post-match was stupid. I thought that was pointless.
Oh, where he cut the, ropes.
That was stupid. Because also, why did it stop? Sorry, guys. Why did it stop at the second rope? Ace is used to this. That's why he didn't sell it. My cats are weird. Anyway, so dumb. Just take the goddamn sword away. Like, it's if you're not gonna actually use it on someone,
you got it back.
If you're not gonna actually just run someone through, just get rid of it.
Someone said that.
The biggest thing that concerned me with the sword when you see him cut through the ropes. I feel like he was very much meant to cut through all three, and when you watch the replay, he cuts through the first two.
Yeah.
And then on the third one, it bounces back, and I remember thinking, like, oh, that could have gone really bad. Comes back and just lodges itself in his shoulder. Like, because it definitely had some rebound, and you could see Drew kind of like...
Imagine that, injury, Dave Meltzer's reporting, like, night one, Rick Boogs, like, messes up his... And then Drew McIntyre runs himself through with his own sword.
Here's the thing. You won't
separated have to... shoulder, literally.
You won't have to report that injury. We saw it. You don't have to report it. We all know what happened, buddy. It's still in there. It's all the way to the boob. It's...
the pick,
and we're gonna be debating for 30 plus years of should they have continued the show after
Drew McIntyre murdered himself.
Because we'll be spending 20 years trying to figure out if it was a work or not. Like it's all certain.
Will we? Because we see the graphics for their entrances. Like I don't think we're gonna WWE went all in on the practical effects here.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I forgot how much I hate those AR intro stuff. Like, it's so bad. Now, with exception of one.
And I know which one it is.
All right, go ahead.
There was the big Roman in the arena, but then there was bigger Roman outside. Shannon, how do you not love it? They turned him into a kaiju.
No.
Make your monster grow. No.
My personal favorite one is the RK-Bro, where Randy Orton's is trying to get Riddle's and his is just avoiding it. Like, that's so stupid. But it's so much fun.
What I hated the most, as much as I didn't like the ones that are just like people where it's like The Undertaker or Roman Reigns, the one I hated and I could not stand looking at was Bianca Belair's. I don't like the lips with the hair tail. It looks like some weird sperm. Like, I'm not into it. It's weirding me out, man. It's not a good look. And every time that tail would whip, I was like, you need to stop. I don't want to see it.
How long is this going to go?
Let's talk about a good look, though. A good look. And that was the next match, which was a tag team match between Rey Mysterio and his son Dominik, which, by the way, loved the Eddie Guerrero homage. That was cool. What did I say? Dominik? Yeah. Is it Dominik?
Dominik. You said Dominik.
Oh, did I really? Oh, shit. Yeah.
He played, he played for the Atlanta
Falcons. I thought he was
going to
enter the Women's Battle Royal.
No. They took on The Miz and Logan Paul. And Logan Paul with the $5 million Pokemon card around his neck for his entrance. $6 million.
Yeah. Get it right.
Oh. I mean, if he came out with a five
Pikachu.
If he came out in a $5 million card, like, that would be stupid. But he came out in a $6 million card. That was awesome.
No one would give a shit. I really like this match, and I'm going to say it now, and I hope we all agree on this. I hate Logan Paul for how good he looked. He looked like I don't want to say a natural. The dude, as much as I dislike him, Logan Paul is a gifted athlete. He's talented.
And he is naturally athletic. Yeah. And he also has like cultivated, you know, an athletic build and physique and but yeah, I also screw that guy.
Long-time wrestling
fan.
That's
so annoying.
Too. And also he's starting to make me like him more. And I hate that because I had this discussion with people at work. I'm like, oh, I don't like the Paul brothers. And they were like, well, I don't like Jake. But Logan kind of, in the past couple years, has really been not the shitty one and has seemed like he's... What?
Logan filmed a dead body up for YouTube.
That's what I said. That was my reaction to them was like, I don't know if I can ever forgive him for filming the dead body. Like, that was rough.
Because, it's all right. And again, and this is the side tangent of it. It's not like he was just fucking recording on, like, randomly and found a dead body. He went to a place where he knew there was known dead bodies and was like, ha ha ha. Fuck him. That being said, I can't say that he didn't do an amazing job. Like, the whole end part from the Tres Amigos to the finish, that was honestly. That was
not five star, but Frog Splash.
Oh, well, yeah, but like everything from the Three Amigos to the very end of the match, I loved. Like, I texted Asa. I loved everything. Like, that whole match was good, but that point to the end was spectacular. Yeah. Like, it was so well done. Everybody's where they needed to be. It got everything that it needed to have, and it was like, it was perfect. Like, it was a great finish to that match. The only thing in that match that sucked was that he ghosted Ray on a kick. At the beginning, whenever he did like the two leapfrogs, he did the splits, and then it was the most unfortunate angle that they keep playing, where it's like he didn't even get close. And I know you have angles where it looks like he hit him.
Yeah,
why do you keep showing the shitty one?
They redid the Vince McMahon stunner. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Can fix this. Yeah.
No, that's why they spent all of the effort on
the
like
budget.
Finding the other angles.
All the
on
budget.
That
that's
went
the budget.
To that.
Also,
and that happened after. After the kick.
Also, I want to say, so the Logan Paul video, by the way, was four or 5 years ago. It is entirely possible for people to turn themselves around and become better people. I think we should mention that.
He did apologize for it, and there's all that. And that's to me, we've talked about this before. I can forgive. I just won't necessarily forget.
Yes.
You know, he apologized, and that's great. And that's, I'm sure he's, you know, trying to make himself a better person. That's great. It's always going to be a little bit of a tainted thing, though, for me. Like, he's never going to fully wash that funk away.
Yeah, but he's done like interviews and stuff too, because it's not just like that's not the only thing that people don't like about him.
Oh, right.
There's other stuff, but it's also there's other things that he's kind of like he's done interviews where he kind of like I don't remember the show, which the show is irrelevant because those guys suck anyway, but they were like making some pretty like inappropriate like sexualized jokes, and he was just like, why are you doing this? Like, this doesn't help anybody. And people were genuinely just like, oh, ultimate dude bro Logan Paul is like
is scolding us on,
is actually
on,
yeah, it's like, yeah, actually scolding is like getting on to people for making like, for just like hyper fixating on like it was a comedian or an athlete or someone's like sexuality. It was something like that, I don't remember, and people were like, oh shit. And then like on Twitter I was like, oh no, he's been doing stuff like this like progressively like over the last few years. It's like it's almost like as he's getting older he's growing as a person,
which is so exactly like, what you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Which I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's perfect, I'm not saying he should be completely absolved of everything, but it's like it seems like he is genuinely making an effort,
And that's
and plus, his brother is getting right to that age where he's going to be a piece of crap.
His,
that's going to be his.
What I don't like about his brother is that he's also incredibly gifted and talented when it comes to athletics. But he, whereas Logan Paul is much more almost reserved in like his trash talking and the way he responds to people, Jake is the exact opposite. He is full blown balls to the wall, say whatever comes out of my mouth. You know what I mean? Like he's so antagonistic, it's annoying.
Yeah. I genuinely am surprised he did not get involved in the match.
I think it's coming at some point.
Especially
after
the pre.
Right.
Did anybody see the pre-show stuff? I was going to say, because we watched that, and he was very much.
He was there.
And he literally goes, I'm going to get involved. Like, the second that they say something to me, I'm going to get involved. And you can see all the hosts like, oh, please don't do that. Well, don't say that.
They were on TMZ.
You're
going to
make people think that's okay.
Well, they were on TMZ. I think it was either just Jake, or maybe it was Jake and Logan. And I think it was just Jake. And they were talking to him about, would you do a tag team in WWE with your brother? And he said, absolutely. Like, he would love to do it. Like, he is also a huge wrestling fan. And if he's anything like Logan in this match, sure, let's do it. Miz and... Is John Morrison still employed by them?
No. He got released months ago.
All right, never mind. Let's just go to this match. Good match. I thought it was great.
It was pretty fantastic that Miz needed to find a tag team partner like 3 months after they fired his
tag team partner.
Normal tag team partner.
My favorite part of this match, there's not a lot to say. It was good. Of course, Rey Mysterio is GOAT. Dominic, I think, is going to be really good. I think he's good now. Miz is a Hall of Famer for sure. Logan Paul did fantastic. My favorite part of this match at the end, when Miz gives him that cartoon villain look for a few seconds. But that's not the best part. The best part is as he grabs Logan Paul, Logan is still smiling, and like until he gets face first into the mat, he's no-selling it. Like, he's the happiest dude in the world.
He's like, oh, he's switching over to my other hand to tell me I did a good job. Yeah. Whack.
The audio is not close enough to pick him up, but they did have a nice camera. They may have cut it afterward, but the camera angle at the moment in the live show, you know, as they go back and forth between Miz backing up the ramp and his and Logan on the mat, he rolls over and he looks at the ramp and he goes, what the fuck was that? As he's like desperately trying to get his head together.
It was still there the next morning because I saw that and I was like, yeah, that's good.
It is supremely funny to me, by the way, and I know this is post, you know, we didn't find this out until like today or a day ago or something, but that part of his contract was like, yeah, I'll do the match, but I'll do it as a heel, but I want to, you have to turn me, you know, face. I want to turn baby face. And they agreed to those terms. I don't know how, because I don't think he doesn't fully understand, like, yeah, we can position you as a face, but they're going to boo you even harder if we do that.
They just gave
so
him
So I guess this was his, like, face turn, but then everybody cheered The Miz.
They're going
to break it to you, but in about five matches, we're going to be talking about a celebrity who wants to be cheered. So I don't see how you can question, like, oh, this is unheard of. I do like the fact that both in the locker room at CCW and on Twitter that night, people were like, I mean, the match was really good. Logan Paul did such a good job, but like, this is a weird way to turn Miz face.
Right. Yeah.
Not like ironically, like legitimately thinking, oh, that's Miz's face turn.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just like, oh no. Cause yeah, no, he is a, like, there is just something unlikable about him, just that air of, you know, being that young, that rich, and that good looking. Like, go
and
fuck
talented.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which,
exactly.
Like, if anybody knows about that, it's The Miz, right? I mean, he's. We just watched, since we have Peacock for a month anyway, we've been watching that WWE Evil documentary, and there's one episode about The Miz, and very much there was a lot of discussion from The Miz himself of, like, I just got a real punchable face, man. I'm not going to act like I don't. Like, I grin and people go, oh, I want to hit that guy.
Speaking of evil.
I hate Face Miz so much. It's not fun.
No,
I don't like
it.
Wait,
we're not getting it either.
Hold on.
That's fine.
You hate Face Miz or you hate Miz's face?
Yes. Both.
Yeah, okay. Both. Yeah.
Correct.
Side tangent real quick. You mentioned Evil. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard it's really good. I've heard the Hollywood Hogan episode is fantastic. I want to watch that especially because I loved Hogan during that time. But did you...
With a quick caveat, it is really good, but as like known, you know, wrestling historians, you're going to watch it and go, that's not really how that happened. Or that's not... what everybody else says happened there, because they spent a lot of time on the NWO and they talked to, you know, Eric Bischoff and all the guys who were like, yeah, no, I came up with all that. It was the greatest thing in the world. And there were never any problems until the very end. And it's all Ted Turner's fault. And you kind of just
true story. True story.
Just bite your fist and go, okay, sure. It was.
There was a wrestler that did... Well, okay, if you're listening to this, you probably... All right, if you're listening to this recap show and you didn't watch Mania, read the results, or hear about what happened on Raw, you're in the wrong place. Like, go back and listen to last week's PZ85 plays.
We're the recap.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes cut...
We're not meant for immediate consumption.
Cody cut a promo on Raw talking about getting the belt that his father should have gotten, and it didn't surprise me, but it cemented the fact that in my head I thought, man, Hogan got booed a lot when he was with Titus O'Neil. It was probably a one-time thing. And then when he said the belt went to Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan was the only one that got booed out of everyone Cody Rhodes mentioned. So I don't think Hogan's got an invitation to Volcano Manor anymore. I think it was taken away. I think it's gone.
Also, in that same promo, it's not the part that was like emotional or well done, but Cody quotes, he says he's an avid reader, and he quotes an important line about like finding your destiny as you're trying to avoid it.
Yeah.
And the internet in about 6 seconds found out that line was not from a book, but instead from the first Kung Fu Panda movie.
Excuse me, from the novelization of the first Kung Fu Panda movie.
Oh, is that what?
That's where he read it.
Yeah.
Okay. I saw someone post a GIF of it, so I assumed it was just from the movie.
Yeah. No, that was the bit. The first comment on the Reddit thread I saw about that was like, oh no, he read the novelization of the movie. That's where he read it.
That's a good cover.
I will say too, jumping back to the match, that I think this is the best that Dominic has looked. Mm. And the fact that he was, especially in that his early, like the first stuff that he did, it all looked really, really good. And then he kind of just kept that momentum through the match, I thought. And I think that's extra important when you take into account that like how short of a time he's been doing this on television. Like it's only been like a year ish.
Yeah.
Right.
And then two, like this is WrestleMania. He has never been in front of more people than that.
Yeah.
Both watching live and there in person. And so
the best he looked in the ring. It was the dumbest he's looked with that fucking mullet. God, I hate it.
Well, that's just an Eddie Guerrero tribute. I'm assuming.
I guess, but it didn't even look.
No, that's just a 2022. The mullet is back. Like both of the Usos have it. It's a thing.
Don't let's see your hair. You got the mullet?
No, it's not a mullet. It doesn't go all the way to the back. I don't have the Aaron Roberts.
Or the front.
Ooh, that was bitchy. That was good, but that was bitchy. Oh, that was.
I don't know if you know. Dalton,
welcome back to the big leagues, bitch.
Tickets went on sale. Tickets went on sale for a Doctor Strange sequel today. Will you be showing it on your forehead on May 4th?
What the fuck? Also,
you have to pay extra for IMAX. Holy shit.
I want to point out that tickets also went on sale for the next CCW show on Saturday because I forgot to pull the last tickets down. So people have been buying tickets that were left over from the last show.
Whoops.
Commemorative
tickets.
Let's get to the next match. And it was a barn burner. It was match of the night. May have been match of the weekend in everyone's opinion. For the Women's Championship on Raw, Bianca Belair against Becky Lynch or Rebecca Quinn. Medicine
or
woman.
David Bowie
or I don't know Mo. So this was a great match. This was absolutely incredible. I was never a big fan of Bianca Belair. I didn't get her at first, and then literally Asa had to explain to me like what was so good about her, and then I started watching her more. I didn't even know what EST meant. Remember, you guys probably remember the show where I said, what the hell does that mean? And you guys explained it to me, and I appreciated that. So I've been watching her ever since, and I was in the group that thought, man, what a shaft she got at SummerSlam when she lost to Becky so quickly. And like, well, they totally screwed her up. The big story now is that, oh, that was just part of the plan. This is her redemption. I don't know if I believe that was always part of the plan, but it doesn't really matter if it was or wasn't, because we arrived here at WrestleMania. Bianca Belair did beat Becky Lynch. She's, you know, establish the fact that she is the dominant person in the division. She is the true champion, and the match was fantastic.
Someone pointed out online that at a certain point we need to prepare the Miss WrestleMania moniker for her. And it's like, yeah, because she's now 2-for-2 on delivering just absolutely incredible Mania matches. I don't know if I can say match of the weekend, but definitely match of the night for Mania for sure.
I put that in Mania context. I don't know. I'm not talking about any other shows.
I know. And there's one that we'll talk about tomorrow that I think I might have enjoyed more, but like it's very, very close.
Okay.
But and also just credit to her because we saw it on Raw, like the black eye that she has. Like, I genuinely was worried she broke her orbital bone when Becky went for that like flipping senton cannonball and just kicked her right under the eye. That slow-mo shot that we got of that landing and her just like her head just shooting down, that was rough.
That was the second hardest kick over the weekend.
But this was amazing.
Wee man, that's all I'll say. Yeah. That's tomorrow.
I harder than he kicked himself, as Ace said. about that tomorrow. I also have just generally really liked Bianca Belair. I was worried that Bianca was going to go the way of Charlotte for me. Like, she was just consistently going to be at the top doing the same thing over and over. And in time, I feel like she has, in a lot of ways, I hate to compare her to a male, you know, superstar, because I really like her kind of just being the front runner in that women's division. But she's captured a lot of that early John Cena like momentum, and I don't mean early, like the wrapping of it. I mean, right around the time that Cena just kind of became the guy, it feels like she has captured a lot of that same sort of energy and momentum. I did not know that they had gone all in on the big time Beck stuff, and I really didn't know how I was going to feel about that because the man was such a big deal. In the end, I like it. I like it just fine, but I do sort of wish, and I forget, Shannon, you and I might have talked about this, or maybe Sarah and I were talking about this, or both, I don't know. At this point, I would almost, now that she and Seth are both probably going to be a little directionless, I'd kind of like to see them just go back together on screen. Because the only time we've ever seen them together was when they first kind of got together, and she was the man, and he was doing a thing, and it was that whole deal against them and Corbin and Lacey Evans, and it was whatever. Now they feel like they have equal, like, crazy insanity. Energy. Crazy rich person energy. That seems like it would be really fun just to do something with. Asa, I love Bianca's entrance, by the way.
Asa was going into convulsions while you were saying that, so I think he may disagree with you.
I'm very concerned. Yeah, yeah. I know.
Hard disagree on that. Mostly because their first together pairing was god-awful. Now, granted,
I think they would fix it now. Yeah.
Their characters are more defined. Like, Seth Rollins at that point was pretty vanilla, white meat, baby face.
Yeah.
So, like, him being unhinged and Becky being as delusional as she is, that could be more fun.
And that's, but no, thank that's kind of the thing. I didn't it really it, like it the first time. It was meh. I feel it, like now that, like I said, it was they're bad so the first similar.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're so similar now that maybe it would be fun just to see them just be unhinged together. You
I
know,
feel
the,
like
the it, king and queen of drip.
Yeah,
the only good thing that came out of it was Corbin hitting Lynch with Becky. The end of days, yeah. Which the way that WWE presents the whole like men hitting women thing is so friggin' stupid. I hate it because it's like, yes, the end of days is, especially then, like, was a very protected, very terrible finisher. Seth acted like he murdered her.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no,
she's a wrestler.
She's a professional wrestler. Yeah. Like, when someone gets bumped off the ring, and it's like, I literally saw her take a worse bump than that 2 months ago. Why are we getting the stretcher out?
Yeah.
Like, this is
wrestling.
This
logic.
Doesn't make sense. So it's like, unless they embrace intergender at a certain point, which with the 24/7 title, they're just like, they're trying so hard to have their cake and eat it too. But it's not that. I just like, I'm good. I don't think it really would ultimately, because who would they go against? They did. There's not really a
Brandy
real life
Cody.
Couple. They did that. Or I think Seth made the joke of just like, well, Brandy wrestles, doesn't she? Like that. But that's pretty much the only one, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. You could go back into like maybe Montez and Belair. Like
Bianca.
That could be interesting.
Miz and Maurice.
But it would need to be like a real life couple like that. It could have been the grit. They could have done the grit couple before the stable started.
Index.
Shannon, you remember the grit couple?
No, I'm trying to think of that. What was the grit couple?
It's feuding with the it couple of Miz and Maurice.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there it is. Yeah. Dalton, what'd you think of the match, please?
That was probably the like best wrestled match of the weekend.
Cool. Thanks, Dalton. All right.
I can't say it was my favorite, because I think I was more entertained by other matches. But just watching it, I was like, "Holy shit!" They did everything they needed to do, and it very much like it did the Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi, where that match made me like everything from SummerSlam to then. Like it retconned me hating things.
Wait, and that Rise of Skywalker did that for you?
Yeah.
Think you don't you mean the other way around?
Like no, I hated Last Jedi. No. It made me like.
Oh, so you were wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
Got yes.
It. Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. So we found out two things recently, and that was Bianca and Becky was amazing, and Dalton is wrong about Star Wars. Moving on to the next match. Seth Rollins versus mystery opponent. It's not Stevie Richards. Asa, worst kept secret in professional wrestling, and yet I was still super excited.
I'm still not entirely convinced Cody Rhodes has signed with WWE. I think he has a fake temporary contract so he can sabotage
like tattoo,
it from the inside, and then he's going to go back to AEW as a conquering hero. No, yeah.
Somebody get this guy out of here. Yeah.
Very easily the worst kept secret, but there was it was like I was hoping for Veer because I am legitimately, oh unironically, a big here. Fan of Veer. He is, and he's
well. He finally awesome. Did show up, you know, yeah. on Monday. But yeah,
I guess Dominic.
But yeah, no. This was also just such a really, really good match.
Yes.
I don't know why, but Rollins' reaction has stuck with me. Going from like the laugh, like the cackling, because he's maniacal, to just like the sudden, just like yeah. the, and then just like, all right, here we go. Because that's just part of his character right now, and I dig it.
That yeah. was so good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I also heard Jim Cornette mention it. Just that, and Brian Last, just that moment of where Seth is laughing. It's so organic. Like it doesn't look like someone bad acting. Like it looked like he was trying to cover his rage and fear with his laughter, and then he couldn't anymore, and it was just the frustration. That was such good facial acting by Seth Rollins. That was 5 stars right there. Of I missed out on Cody Rhodes entirely in AEW. I saw next to nothing. The only thing I knew about Cody Rhodes in AEW was that it started off really well intentioned, and then by the end of it, almost became a joke in itself. Of I'd never heard it, but I've heard stories of his promo where he stopped racism. I've heard of just the fact that he was getting booed, and it almost seemed like they were purposely doing that to turn him heel. But in the actuality, no, he was a face, and he was going to stay a face no matter who booed him. And it just seemed like it was a big rib on everybody. So I was a little worried about what would happen to Cody Rhodes when he came into WWE. I was afraid he was going to bring some of that energy with him. But the moment that the lights went out, his music kicked up, and he came up from the Cody Vader, the crowd went nuts. And it was like this was magical. This was a magical WrestleMania moment. This is something that if he does nothing else in his career in WWE, he can look back on this as one of the all-time great WrestleMania moments. And that's saying something.
We'll say I'm already worried with how they're treating him because on the bump today or on WWE's TikTok, they had him completely redo the ear gif
from
BTE, and it's like, oh no, don't what are we doing here? I think long term it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Cody because WWE historically. Is very bad about shiny new toy, here we go, and then something happens to distract from the story they want to tell, and stuff just gets dropped. And, like, after that promo he cut on Monday, I genuinely want to see him win the UU title.
Yes.
I think that would be amazing. But, and it would be a great moment, but at the same time, like, there's so much that could happen between A and B.
Yeah.
Is he actually going to get it?
And do you really think he would be the one to beat Roman Reigns? No way. No way he would be the one to beat Roman Reigns. But
he also doesn't have to be the one to beat Roman Reigns. He could beat the person who beats Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like this could be is it going to be Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley or, you know, whoever. I think there are plenty of options on the table that could be believable ones to upend Roman's reign. You know, I genuinely didn't mean to make that joke.
Well, you think? But I don't think of that when they gave him that name.
No, yeah, no. That's
been on the table for a while.
But I do think that even if he's not the one to end the historic streak, the longest running champion, whatever, I think he's on the table like long term.
Yeah. Well, dude keeps talking about the contract. He said he signed a big-time contract. It's one of the most extensive wrestling contracts ever made, and he's getting everything he wants. So who knows what that means? It's Cody Rhodes, so who knows, Hunter?
I'm still legitimately surprised that you and I talked about this a little bit on the pre-show. The long-term booking, almost kind of like fantasy booking of, okay, it was What Culture, for the record, that did it. Like, if it's Cody Rhodes, what do you do with him for the next, you know, year plus? And ultimately, it did lead to him basically doing a lot with Dusty's legacy, a lot with wanting to get the title. There was a lot more in theirs of, like, wanting to kind of redeem Dusty's name, kind of just get his family name back. I don't know how much they'll spend on that, and honestly, they probably don't need to at this point. But I do like that it's kind of veering at least toward that, the legacy of he never really, you know, won that belt. And when he was 8, he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to win it for my dad. I'm going to bring it home to him. And even if I can't do that physically now, I can do some version of that. I'm like Asa, I want to see it happen. I was also, and I think we can't gloss over this, we did talk about things like the Cody Vader and Kingdom, you know, using the theme, but like, I cannot get past the entrance was surreal. I think it was Corey Graves who used the word surreal as Cody was making his way to the ring, and it really was, because it felt like this was one of the very few times that somebody came in from another company and it felt like they never left that company.
Yeah.
Like, this was closer to an invasion than anything that happened during the invasion, because it was the theme, it was the entrance, it was the look. You half expected the ring announcer to say, you know, introducing AEW's Cody Rhodes in a way, because it was just so much like that. And I know he did a lot of that stuff outside of AEW too, in you know, on the Indies and New Japan, whatever. But it was one of those things that is not a little touch, don't get me wrong, but from the pyro to the music to everything, I think a lot of that stuff really just kind of defines who he is now. And you let any of that go, and suddenly it feels WWE stamped. This is WWE's Cody Rhodes.
Right. But so far,
this is one of the few times. Yeah, this is one of the few times they've not done that, and I think it's better for it. He kind of needs to feel like an outsider.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be beneficial long term for him.
He definitely, it gives him a big time feel. Like, it makes him feel different from other people in the roster.
Yeah.
I do think, like Shannon mentioned, his the way he was presented in AEW, where it was like, oh, it's 4D chess heel turn stuff. I think they are going to need to walk a very fine line, because these first couple weeks, he's going to have a lot of leeway. They are going to give him a lot of slack, and the fans are just going to be excited because he's there.
Mm-hmm.
This is big, but the shine's going to wear off. And if it's just, and even already, the from undesirable to undeniable, like, that line is getting memed to hell. And it's just like, oh no, we're just going to see the exact same thing happen at AEW, or that happened at AEW happen to him at WWE, except now it's, he's not, you know, we don't know the level of creative control he has. Like, we don't know who's actually behind it at this point, because they could easily turn him into the worst parts of Cena.
Yeah, his promo on Monday went 7+ minutes, and it was a good promo, but like, there was a lot of it that felt not disingenuous. I don't know the right word for it. It worried me too that he's walking a line between, he could get booed very easily if they just make one wrong step. But in terms of this match, Dalton, and I want to throw this to you really quick, because I want to get your thoughts on this match in particular. If you loved it, this was, I said Bianca and Becky was the best match, but I think this was my favorite match just because it had that big feel to it. Did you love it as much as I did? And also, how much did you love him immediately busting out the cartwheel and the Stardust taunt?
I only loved that part because, like, the next day he did an interview about, like, I had one condition, or, like, one request, and it was, we never mention Stardust again. I don't want to talk about it on, like, anything like that. Like, I don't even want it mentioned. I don't want to see it. I don't want him to pitch it to me. And then he was like, and then literally in the first 5 minutes, I do a callback to Stardust. He was like, I didn't even think about it. This match was, like, absolutely perfect with the way they did it. It was one of those things that the last 3 years of Cody at AEW, like, it's cool that he's in WWE, but I think right now I'm seeing the honeymoon phase, and I know it's the honeymoon phase, so I'm just kind of waiting for the wheels to fall off. I don't want the wheels to fall off. I would like for them to make this whole Rhodes family, like, circle come, like, when he's still a full face. But I think I'm with Ace on this, where that shine's going to wear off real quick. And if he doesn't beat Roman by the next pay-per-view in like 3 weeks, that shine's going to wear off real quick. And then they're going to have a problem like they have with Rousey half the time, where it's, but she's a good guy, but she's booed, but like you should really like her. She's Ronda Rousey, but they don't care. And not putting them in the same boat, but I could see that happening because that's exactly what was happening at AEW.
And I'm glad you.
That being said, like tonight or not tonight, Saturday night, it was the perfect situation for Cody. They did it the exact. It's like what Hunter said. It was the most invasion without it being an invasion. It was exactly Cody Rhodes.
100% agree. It was a WrestleMania moment. There was a lot of WrestleMania moments on the two nights, which I really, really appreciated. I'm glad you mentioned Ronda Rousey, because that is the perfect segue into our next match, which is the other women's championship match. Charlotte Flair, the queen, defending against Ronda Rousey, the peasant. And I don't have a lot to say about this match. I thought it was a good match.
No one should.
I'm gonna save you a lot of time here.
I did not care, and I still don't care. Didn't care going in. Didn't care during it. Don't care now.
Fundamentally good match. Well fought. Man. I don't have an emotional connection to either of these people. It was hard for me to really get invested in this. I'm tired of Charlotte Flair at the top, but I recognize Charlotte Flair is an amazing athlete and one of the best of all time. I'm not invested in Ronda Rousey, but I know Ronda Rousey is a legitimate, like, you know, badass and could be the Brock Lesnar of the women's division. And yet, knowing all those things, I couldn't get into it. But I'm not going to say the match was bad. It was a good match, but I didn't have an attachment.
The reason to me that Ronda Rousey cannot be the Brock Lesnar of the women's division is when Lesnar repeats something, it's impactful every time he does it. The Suplex City thing, like, yeah, he's hitting 8 German suplexes in a match, but each one of those German suplexes could have finished the match. Like, he does that many because he can.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda's, everything that Ronda does that makes her unique is like a transition move. Her judo throws, the like step up into the armbar stuff, like she hit, and she does it so many times in the match that it's not special anymore. And like you guys, I did not care. Like, I don't care about Charlotte. I don't care about Rousey. I think she's a terrible face. I think that she is not, like, this was her best outing. And, like, the match itself was perfectly fine. I liked how physical it was, but at the same time, like, I couldn't really get excited for it because, one, we already had an exponentially better women's match earlier that I think should have been higher up on the card.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't care. Also, I don't like her as an individual, like as a person.
Yeah.
So that makes the whole like face thing even worse.
Right.
Let's just say I don't know if you guys have heard about doing. Sorry, go ahead.
I was gonna say I don't know if you guys have heard about this. But apparently, like, her training is pretty weird. Like, she actually will like throw wide punches at just giant hanging sandbags. So if you Google Ronda Rousey Sandy Hook. You'll learn this just like
bitch.
Really weird.
Son
There's
of
this like
bitch.
Weird stuff that yeah.
You got me. You actually got
work
me.
Work me into a shoot. Fucking yeah. Hook, line, and sinker. God damn.
Sandy Hook.
That HH at the end of that wasn't Hulk Hogan. It's me. He worked my work into a shoot, brother.
But that's,
I was gonna say, let's just say WWE knew what they were doing when they put this match on between Cody Rhodes' return and Stone Cold Steve Austin getting back into the ring after 19 years. They knew exactly what was going on there.
There's also something to be said that Rousey apparently got super pissed off that her match wasn't the main event. She had even gone on Ellen and said that her match was the main event. And the argument was like, well, what is the main event? The KO thing is a special attraction. No, that was the main event. Uh-huh.
The last
he also tried to refute that by saying, you know, no, something about her kid and like she had to, take care of her.
The story was that Brian Alvarez reported that Ronda Rousey, when she found out was not in the main event, she left the Hall of Fame early. And so she didn't want to be there because she was pissed off because she wasn't in the main event.
Yeah.
She refuted that by saying, no, I left the Hall of Fame early because I have a child I needed to put to bed.
Right.
So that's what that was. There has been a lot of really weird miscommunication with her specifically. Like, was it Raw or SmackDown that they advertised it was Ronda and Bianca versus Becky and Charlotte? And then, like, Ronda herself was just like, yeah, no one told me to be at Raw, so I am not going to be at Raw. She had some other engagement she had to do. And then, yeah, the whole, like, oh, no, their night, they were, they, at one point, it was night one's main event, was Rousey versus Flair. And then at some point that changed. But then there's also the really weird wording that they did where they were calling every match a main event.
Mm.
Like Vince McMahon telling Seth Rollins, yeah, no, you will have your main event at WrestleMania.
Mm-mm.
And it's like,
that's not how main events work.
Will he?
Yeah.
Or it all goes back to that CM Punk interview or the podcast of just like, you know, I never main evented WrestleMania. Well, no, you main evented WrestleMania with The Undertaker. Motherfucker, we all know what it means. We were not the last match. And even still, like, even if before it was like Austin is not going to have an actual match, he's not going to, you know, there won't be a bell. It's just going to be the KO show. That even still, like after, it's like, well, technically, you're the last match, but you're not the last segment.
Yeah,
even that went out the window.
To me, the term main event isn't main match; it's the main event. It's whatever
that
they.
Last thing that
it's the last thing. It's what they put a spotlight on. Yeah. That is the main event. But speaking of the main event, let's talk about it, and then we got to get out of here. The main event was the KO show, but it wasn't the KO show. It was the KO show that led into an impromptu, quote-unquote, no DQ street fight. I don't know what they called it, between Kevin Owens.
No holds barred.
No holds barred.
The official term that they gave, yeah.
And the returning, 19 years after his last match in wrestling, Stone Cold Stephen Austin. And it was... Well, he's a little older now. He's distinguished. He put some respect on his name.
Spell the whole thing out.
It was a good match. Like, I thought it was a good match in the sense that here's a guy that hasn't wrestled in 19 years and has been injured and like is doing this one last thing. It was a good match in that sense. Was it a good match? No, but it was such a high caliber event and spectacle that it didn't have to be a good match. Sometimes, like, you know, not to toot my own horn, Dalton, but me and Osby didn't have the best match last year in terms of working, but it was the best match plus spectacle plus everything that went into it. This was the same thing. Dalton, I'll go to you first. How did you feel about the spectacle that was Stone Cold and Kevin Owens?
I didn't need it to be a match. It was good. It was enjoyable. Again, I kind of go back with how I felt about his last WrestleMania match at WrestleMania 19 being like the perfect send-off for somebody. But at least it was good. Because that was my big thing that like I've been railing or I've just been like trumpeting on Nerdy's part for the last couple of months of he is like the one person that had the perfect retirement match. And didn't do a whole lot of...
And then we had to point out to you that it wasn't the last match. WrestleMania 19 wasn't his last match.
So anyway, but like actually looking at it, like it wasn't Shawn Michaels at Saudi Arabia, but like it was good. I will say it was good. That being said, there was something about that Rock match that I just needed that to be kind of the book into that career. At least it was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I kind of feel about it.
To me, that wasn't just to spend a brief second on that match. I know it was kind of, you know, Austin's retirement match, and then of course it wasn't. To me, that was really more of just a retirement of that WrestleMania event, because Rock and Austin at WrestleMania was such a thing there for, you know, 2, 3, 4. I think it was three total, right? Three in the end.
17, 16, 17, and 19.
Yeah. And the 19, yeah. And they kind of needed that. To me, that's the bookend. It's the end of that thing. Because Rock went on to wrestle more. Austin went on to wrestle more. But they got that last little one for them, you know, out of their way. Austin didn't, like, wrestle matches. You know what I mean?
He had, like, a small attraction match, but yeah.
But here's the thing for me for this match. I have never seen nor never enjoyed watching the ring rust come off of somebody so procedurally. It was so good. It started out a little slow, and I also thought, oh crap, like this was a bad idea. He's taken a long time to get going, but you could almost literally watch the motor just start running for Austin and him get back into that groove. And if you're Kevin Owens, you gotta be over the freaking moon, because it's Owens who Vince McMahon said, you're the guy, you're the one we want to do this. It's Owens who Austin said, you're the guy, if I'm gonna do this, you're the one to pull this off.
Already given him the blessing to use the stunner.
Yeah,
right.
Like, even before this was a possibility.
Yeah, and it just, it was so, so good. I was a little worried about the build-up to this, because the Owens, like, ragging on Texas thing felt really shoehorned. It was very cheap heat, like the cheapest of heats. But it's also Kevin Owens, and he knows how to do it and make it work. And when they got into the actual ring and started the back and forth, he was so good at just the like, no, Steve, sit down. This is not your show. You're going to do what I want to do.
The best line. Galton, I think you're going to say the same thing. Go ahead.
My favorite line is when he's talking about his last match 19 years ago, and he was like, at WrestleMania 19, you know, your knees were shot, your back was shot, and your neck is shot, and like, it can't be any better now. But besides that, I don't see why you wouldn't want to fight me. And I don't know why that got me. But I was literally laughing out loud at that.
That's not the line that got me. I thought you were going to say where he talked about living in Texas. He said, you could have gone down to Mexico. It's right there. That's
my favorite. Yeah, that was also right solid. There.
Far away. Yeah, again, we use this term a lot, this phrase, and I like it. I was extremely sports entertained.
Yes.
You know, was it the best wrestling match? No, of course not. But it was Austin doing Austin stuff, and it was a really good precursor to, you know, Austin on night two, which we weren't necessarily expecting until certain things fell into place. I think those two things end up elevating each other. Having this happen night one and him really get going again, and then when the pieces fall into place in night two and you go, oh, wait a minute, I see what's happening here. We were talking about it in the group chat. I was like, where's Stone Cold when you need him? And then, like, literally a minute later, oh, there he is.
Yeah.
There it is. Okay.
I want to ask Asa how you felt about seeing Stone Cold get suplexed on the concrete.
Uncomfortable. But it's one of those things where I don't know. I almost got Hunter. I almost got a spin take out of Hunter.
Oh, you did got me. You did get me. Yeah.
Yep. Hang up the jerk.
I took a huge drink and it was a bad idea.
Oh, I can see it on your shirt.
It's all over me. My glasses is bad news.
Hang my jersey in the podcast, in the Discord server. I think Hunter put it best of just like the way that match started. I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
We're going to need to like have someone check on Dalton because he's not going to be okay. But as it went, and like the fact that it went as long as it did as a match, like it wasn't anything groundbreaking. This was by no means a great, you know, an all-time classic. But as far as just like kind of a street fight back and forth brawl goes, it was good.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It was cool to see Austin. It was cool to see, you know, the mud hole stomps. It's Austin. There's something very special about that in general. But yeah, by the time when they started to go through the crowd, like that's when things I thought really kind of started to like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Then the suplex happens. Like, oh no,
that was.
I think
rough.
The only thing it was missing move wise was the Luthes press, and there's no way Austin on those knees is pulling that off anymore.
Yeah.
Owens would literally have had to like let him just kind of land on his, you know, bulk in the process of that, or else it would not have worked. Because Austin in those knee braces, you think they were tight back in, you know, what, 2002, 2003? Like, they tight now for sure.
It was extremely sports entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Like, honestly, to me, I enjoyed their promo exchange more.
Yeah.
Because this was the type of, like Hunter mentioned, like the picking on Texas is pretty low-hanging fruit. And I, in general, am not a fan of someone having to sell a match by themselves. We got one video Undertaker, package Bray from, Wyatt. John Cena, Undertaker. We got one video package where Austin accepted the invitation to be at WrestleMania. And it was a good promo, and it did a good job of being like, you know what? Yeah, maybe I do want to see Austin fight this dude. But, like, for how long this went, like, the weeks and weeks and weeks of just Owens, is like, ah, come on. Like, even the Rollins build-up kind of was a letdown. But it at least made a little bit more sense because the story wasn't Seth Rollins versus Cody. It was Seth Rollins trying to get on Mania, and then he doesn't know who his opponent is.
Right.
Which... that, you know, was dumb for other reasons, like just attack a champion and then you'll get added to that match. It's fine.
That's only in the women's division.
That's how it works.
That's a rule.
Just go talk to Natalya. I really loved, by the way, just really quick, the even to go a little further back, the lead up to the promo, you know, Owens out there getting everything in the ring, calling him out and everything. Austin starting to walk down, and then, because I kept going, like, where's his ATV, man? This would be so much easier on those knees. And then he stops, like, hang on a minute, I forgot something. Let me go back and get this. The minute he gets in the ring, he just starts
throwing shit. Yeah.
And Owens just sits there like, motherfucker, I should have known.
Shouldn't have invited him.
Should have known.
Shouldn't have invited him. I think wrestling in general nowadays, especially because of AEW, and you know, you guys introduced me to a lot of indie wrestling. Wrestling itself is so good. It makes me appreciate WrestleMania moments more. Like, I feel like I had an epiphany of like, oh, I get WrestleMania now. It's not about great wrestling. It's about that feeling, that big feel. And Austin and Owens was just that personified. It was that feeling of this feels big. This is never going to be match of the year. This is never going to be like a five-star classic. But man, at WrestleMania, this feels like an event. Like, I'm glad I was there for it. And I think there was a lot of that over the two nights of WrestleMania, which, by the way, because we got to cut out of here, I got to go. But we're going to continue this tomorrow. Night one, of course, here on Podzilla 1985. Asa, where are they going to, if for our Podzilla listeners that might not know, where can they find part two of WrestleMania Night 2?
Yeah, on podcast services, just whichever one your favorite is. Whatever podcast service you're using, listening to this. You can just go to Nerdiest, look up Nerdiest Part of the Ring.
And we'll be there tomorrow. Myself, Hunter, are you going to be there as well?
That's the plan.
All right. Sweet. We'll be there tomorrow to talk about Night 2, along with NXT, Ring of Honor, and Asa. There's a little bit of news breaking today that I meant to touch on earlier, of a big release in WWE that I don't know if we want to talk about. We'll talk about it if we're going to talk about it.
We probably won't, just because of the sheer amount between WrestleMania,
yeah, there's not a lot
and
of time.
NXT, yeah. Like that's going to end up being like one of them patented old school PWU super shows that trying to not have to do the whole time. Although we will talk about Triple H, because one, it happened on Night 2,
yeah.
And two, because I genuinely got sidetracked talking about the Hall of Fame to mention that news last week, even though I said we were.
All right, that is tomorrow.
Well, I mean, you know, how many times can The Undertaker be mentioned, honestly? We can't do it enough.
Yeah.
Did you guys know The Undertaker was in the Hall of Fame?
When The Undertaker,
let's bring him out right now.
When he's not on the stage, everyone
that same
else,
suit.
They need to be asking themselves, where is The Undertaker? All right, that's tomorrow. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We'll be back with you tomorrow over on Nerdiest Part of the Ring. For myself, for Double H, for Asa, for the Big D, Dalton Anthony, thank you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Dalton, since it's been a while, take us out.
Yo.
Disappointment.